Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap, surveying the squared circle. Hey, we've had a lot of great action this weekend. We're going to recap a lot of it. Going to grab Mr. Scully, have him talk a little bit about the action this weekend. We're going to have the champ, Mr. Lane Brewster. I'm also going to grab him. And we're going to discuss all the weekend action. In the meantime, I'm going to grab Mr. Scully here, see what's going on. My co-host, Mr. Jabron Clement, should be in soon. We'll talk about the fights that took place over in the Barclays Center. Somewhat of a slow connection tonight, Blog Talk Radio, but I believe... Yes. Hello, Mr. Scully. How are you doing tonight?
Yes,
I'm good.
Sir. How are you doing?
You well.
All right.
Doing good. Hey, a lot of action this weekend. Did you get a chance to view any of it?
Yeah, I was at the Thurman fight last night. I was there.
Okay. I didn't know whether you'd be up some of the other fights or not, but glad to hear you and Fox down at the Thurman fight. I believe, my co-host is in. Jabron, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Okay. Did you happen to catch all the weekend's action or most of it?
Yeah, pretty much most of it. The Eubanks, I saw the Brazil fight. I saw the co-main event last night of the Thurman fight, and also the Thurman and Porter fight.
Okay. Scully, since you were there, let's start with you. First of all, what did you think about the young man that was the prelim Thurman fight, that was the young Swift.
Oh yeah. We were, I actually had never heard of him in my life until yesterday, and I really liked him. He actually halfway through the second round, I remember thinking, wow, you know, like I've never even heard of this kid before. This kid can fight, and it just goes to show you what I always say. Like, there's so many fighters out there that you've never heard of that have talent, you know, and skills and whatever. They just need an opportunity to be seen. And a lot of them simply just don't get the opportunity ever. They don't have the right connections. So I was glad that kid got a chance because he, you know, he showed me a lot. He was very skilled and very composed, and I was very impressed.
Jabron, your thoughts about that fight?
Pretty much the same. I was very impressed. With the performance, is action packed and pretty much, you know, I can't wait to see more of him and going forward. And I'm just happy that you know, PBC is giving these guys the opportunity to get on that platform. And something that Thurman said after the fight, that he said his next fight, or if he did a rematch, he wouldn't want pay-per-view. So, I mean, that's a good thing that, you know, they're not trying to just jump straight to pay-per-view, giving everybody other opportunities.
Speaking of pay-per-view, John, I know we have a lot of these guys, everybody thinks they're a pay-per-view fighter, but is Thurman a pay-per-view fighter?
I mean, right now, I look at pay-per-view like closed circuit was back in the day. And closed circuit was reserved for Holmes Cooney, Hagler Hearns, Leonard Duran, Leonard Hearns, Leonard Hagler, fights of that magnitude. And I think Keith is very good. He's great for boxing and everything. But in terms of, like, public appeal and public, you know, notoriety, I don't think so. I don't think a lot of guys are necessarily worthy of it. And I don't mean that skill-wise. I just mean publicity-wise. You know, those guys, back in the day when the closed circuit fights happened, you know, everybody was kind of aware of these guys who were in the big fights. But now you have some big fights on pay-per-view and you know, even boxing fans aren't really familiar with them. I think they're forcing a lot of stuff on us.
They had the champion with us, chilling with the champ,
Mr. Lehman, how you doing tonight?
Hey, man, I'm good, man. How y'all doing?
Everything's good.
We're doing good. Lehman, we were just talking about pay-per-view and the statement that Keith Thurman had made about him not wanting to go on pay-per-view. But Lehman, do you consider Keith Thurman a pay-per-view fighter yet?
Yeah, I think Keith Thurman is definitely a pay-per-view fighter, just based on the fight that he put on. I mean, man, last night, you have to say that was the best fight of the year thus far, at least in my opinion. You had two warriors, two top-trained killers going at it. They threw some bombs, and everybody know both of those guys can punch. And, you know, I just think that Thurman is, in my opinion, he has to now be looking to step up if there's anybody out there like a Pacquiao or somebody that would be brave enough to fight him, you know, because of his youth, because of his power. And, you know, I ain't got to tell you, you know, when you have a world title, it puts you, it makes you the king on the chessboard. And the last thing a king is ever going to do is give up his crown without a fight.
Jabron, coming back to you as more or less a layman, what was your opinion of the fight, and do you think that the fight was really merited a fight of the year candidate?
Fight of the year candidate so far, that's kind of tough, but pretty much I think it could have went either way. I think people just looking at the simple fact, like any time that Thurman would counter sometime, it's like since Porter is coming forward with so much aggression, the punch doesn't even have to be real powerful, just a jab, but by his aggression, it's like a head-snapping punch. So, of course, that's going to, you know, magnify the eyes of the judges and, of course, the audience. They go, ooh, you know, to see a head-snapping punch. But they're not seeing those body shots that Porter was landing, especially when he had him pinned up against the ropes. Then I know that those judges probably wasn't counting.
Scully, what did you think about the scoring for that fight? Did you think it was a unanimous decision?
Well, I'll say this. The vibe in the building at the actual fight, was that Sean was winning. You know, the people around me seemed to think that Sean was well ahead. Matter of fact, they kept showing between rounds. You could look up on the monitor above the ring, and you could see who was ahead according to I don't know who it was, but whoever was scoring the fight for TV. And everybody seemed shocked that they had Thurman ahead, because being there live, it seemed like Sean was the aggressor, and he was making the fight. And the way I looked at it, see how being up close, it was probably a closer, tougher fight. But what it appeared to me was that the two differences was that Sean was doing what he wanted to do. He was implementing his plan, whereas Keith was forced to respond to Sean. Keith was doing what he had to do to stay in the fight, whereas Sean was more dictating. So I think Sean was the more comfortable of the two. You know, Keith was against the ropes quite a bit. I mean, a lot more than I thought he was going to be. And that was, you know, obviously he was forced to do that. Great fight, very great action fight. I'm sure they're both extremely sore today. But it seemed like Sean, you know, I felt like, well, I think it's Max Kellerman who always says, you know, who would you rather be? He judges it that way. You know, I just felt like Sean pushed it, and I just felt like Sean did enough. But I'd have to see it either on TV, or I'd have to see it again being a little closer than where I actually was sitting. But from where I sat, it looked like Sean was winning the fight.
Layman, does it seem like the judges or maybe the fans have forgotten what the term effective aggression means?
Yeah, I think they forgot a long time ago what that term of effective aggression means, because Sean Porter definitely made that fight. He brought out the best in Porter. And if Porter would have been, I mean, not Porter, in you know, Thurman, and if Thurman would have been anything less than what he was last night, he would have definitely lost. He would have got knocked out. He would have got ran up out the ring. I was very impressed to see Sean Porter do the things that he did with the, you know, he burnt up. He used so much energy in that fight, man, almost like a Joe Frazier pre- Shane Mosley before he fought Vernon Forrest. That was the type of fight that I saw. He threw many bombs. He took many bombs. And, if they would have gave it to Porter, I would have said, hey, you know what? That's fair, because he threw more punches. He, I guess, even landed more punches. But, you know, I'm not a judge. I can only go along with what the judges say. But I will say the thing that I would say about Thurman was that, you know, he kept his composure. He never lost his cool. He never let the pressure get to him. So I commend him on that. But does that mean he win a fight? I can't say. You know, from a standpoint of a fan, it clearly would have looked like Porter won the fight, and I think it would make for a heck of a rematch.
John, what do you think about effective aggression? Have we lost the art of counting that in the judging?
I think so. You know, you have to realize that judges are humans. You know, they're human beings. They're attracted to some of the flash. You know, they're attracted to certain things innately. They're just attracted to certain things. And I think a lot of the subtle nuances of boxing, I think, are actually lost on some of these guys because they're actually subtle. So I think, I've talked to different judges over the years on what they look for, and the general idea is the same. But by the same token, and this is a much deeper subject, but to become a judge and to be a judge, you know, isn't necessarily the most difficult thing in the world to do. I think that people are under the assumption that boxing judges go through a very, very rigorous training seminar or whatever it is and have to be highly, highly qualified. But in some cases, that's not the case. It's probably easier to become a boxing judge than it is to become a baseball umpire or an NFL referee. So there's that aspect of it. Like a lot of guys, like a James Toney. Now he was very celebrated for his defensive style and his old, what they call old school. But there's other fighters that do the old school moves, and if they're not well known for doing that, I think they wouldn't get credit for the short counter punches on the inside and different little things that maybe some judges aren't really, really in tune with. So I think there's that aspect of the whole judging whole scenario worldwide.
Scully, what were you more impressed with, Sean's aggression or Sean's chin? Seems to me he took a couple of the best shots that Thurman had in him. I saw his knees buckle a couple of times. Of course, that was on TV. But I was also impressed with his chin compared to the way that Thurman has got a lot of these other guys out.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's no doubt whatsoever that Keith is a big, sharp puncher. And, you know, and that just points to Sean's, from my experience, taking a punch is partially mental, and you have to be in condition mentally to do it, not just physically, but mentally. You know, a guy could be in great condition physically, but if he's not there mentally, he can still be knocked out relatively easy. Now, Sean was obviously focused, and he had that deep, deep, deep focus and desire. And it's much easier to take punches like that. And he, you know, even I tell you what, I did an interview the other day with a website, and one of the guys, the reporter, was saying to me how, you know, I don't know. I mean, Broner dropped Porter, and you know, Keith hits a lot harder than Porter. And I'm saying, listen, that was late in the fight when I believe that mentally he lost respect for Broner, because he was having his way with him, and Broner caught him, and he got caught. And I'm sure Sean was the most surprised guy in the building. When you go in against a Keith Thurman, automatically, as a knowledgeable boxing person, automatically your defenses go up, and your ability to take a punch goes up, because you know what you're in with. And, you know, you can't be surprised as easily. So, you know, for him to take those shots, he took some great shots. And to keep coming, like with the, you know, almost like reckless abandon. Like he was coming, he was throwing the shots, risking getting counterpunched, which Keith was trying to do. Keith was trying to line him up for a really sharp counter. And, you know, his aggression and his attack and his sustained attack was definitely impressive. Now, that's something maybe judges might not notice or give credit for, but I certainly noticed it. And in my book, I gave him a lot of points for that.
Same question. What were you more impressed with, Sean's aggression or Sean's chin and the way that he took the best that Thurman had to offer?
I was impressed with his aggression, because he got hit with a couple of shots, man. And a guy like you know, Thurman is the kind of guy that could put you, you know, under the ring, and he hit with a couple of shots, man. You know, had me like, wow, man, this dude, he's like reminding me of like an Aaron Pryor. I mean, where he just kept coming no matter what he got hit with. But not just that, man. He fought very hard the entire fight. He made the fight. He was the aggressor. He threw the most punches. He did everything, man. So, you know, I was just overall impressed with everything about this dude, man. It was like he was like a machine last night. And, you know, I was telling my wife, you know, fights like this, the good and the bad about it is, the good is you get a very good action fight. The bad part is fights like this kind of take a little bit out of you when you have these type of fights. When lose or draw, it still take a little out of you, because it's hard to – you know, when you got to go, I guess you say you got to go to the well to get that water, man. And you got to go down there and get it and bring it back up. That's kind of hard, man. And he had to dig deep, because I'm sure there was points in the fight where he was tired. He may have been frustrated, but he kept coming. He kept working. And, you know, I just hope, you know, this ain't like a – and, of course, it's not. I can't compare it, but how like a Chavez what was his name? Medrick Taylor. Medrick was never really the same after, because he gave so much. You know, everybody know Medrick won that fight. Of course, we know how it ended. But in a fight like this, I'm just saying he took some good punches. He fought very hard. And, you know, I just hope that I hope that this fight, because of the punches he took and all that he had to endure, I hope that it doesn't hurt him in the long run as a fighter.
That's a very good point. Jabron, your thoughts, you know, if you looked at the two guys after the fight, you could kind of see, or you would think, that this fight has taken quite a bit out of Keith Thurman, even though he was the winner and he remained the champion. Jabron, do you think that possibly this fight might have taken more out of Keith than it did Sean?
It's very possible, because he was really digging deep. It was times where I seen him take, like, deep breaths, like, hey, I got to suck it up and go into that reserve tank. But to comment on Porter's performance, I was really impressed with his mental. If you paid attention to the fight, it was a round where Keith Thurman got the better of him, and he went to the corner, and his father was talking to him and giving him instructions, and he was tuned in. He gave his father feedback. Like, his father was like, yeah, you shoot the jab and come with the overhand right. And then he was like, nah, but he's ready for that. He's starting to jab. So he was like, oh, okay. So that let me know, no matter, even though it was later on the fight, I think it was maybe the seventh round, later in the fight when you're a little more fatigued, he had took some shots in that round, and his mental was still there. He was still focused on a game plan and how to make adjustments. I was very impressed with that.
Scully, this is the second fight that we've seen where, you know, Keith Thurman hasn't been able to, when someone works the body, he seems very susceptible, and he was hurt I'd say at least a couple of times. He was visibly hurt by Sean's body work. Scully, what does a fighter do to condition himself and get ready for a guy like Sean that you know is going to be attacking the body?
Well, I'm going to tell you a funny thing. It's really, really interesting, the human body, the human mind, the ability to take a punch. You would think that you train your body. Like, guys will get hurt to the body, and they'll say, oh, I got to do more sit-ups. I got to get the six-pack abs. I got to be strong, you know, to the body. Now, you can look at Tommy Hearns, great six-pack, you know, and he was broken down to the body against Sugar Ray Leonard. I can name a lot of guys. I've seen guys with six packs get folded in half. And then you get James Toney, literally, for lack of a better word, fat against, you know, 60 pounds above his best weight. And he's getting body shots from Hasim Rockman, Samuel Peter, all these big monsters. And it doesn't even seem to phase him. Now, that's not to say he didn't feel him, but apparently didn't even phase him. They couldn't stop him with body shots. How do you explain that? You explain that by, A, the ability to take it. Now, that doesn't mean having a six-pack. That just means you have the ability to take it. You have the ability to hide the fact that it bothers you. And a guy like James Toney is great at that. He's a great example of it. So I think a lot of guys need to focus more on the mental aspects of boxing and being tough, as opposed to just thinking that muscles are going to, you know, make you better. Muscles don't really account for much in terms of giving punches and or taking punches. It really, I think it's been proven over the years, people just haven't really stopped to let it dawn on them. And like I said, I think James Toney is a great example of that. So, you know, part of taking a punch, a big part to me, is going in and making up your mind that you're going to take a better punch, that you're going to be tough. And believe me, I've proven it several times in my career. It works. It's mental is highly, highly, highly underrated by people.
Layman, do you go along with that, or would you like to you know, kind of expand on that a little bit? especially being a heavyweight.
Can you ask him to repeat the question? Can you repeat the question? Because I couldn't really hear. I was trying to adjust my phone. I didn't get all of it. I got bits and pieces.
I was asking about Keith Thurman, his reaction to the body attack. We think this is the second fight where he's being bothered by a body attack. I was just wondering if you thought that maybe his next opponent or any of his opponents will take and put that in their pre-fight discussion on how to beat Keith Thurman.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Did I lose you? Okay.
No,
well, man, I just want to say, I don't think that that's something that Thurman needs to worry about. You know, any fighter is going to have, at some point in a fight, you're going to get hit with a shot, maybe more than once, and it's going to maybe expose you to an area where you're going to go back into the gym and you're going to fix. I don't think that the next fight with the next opponent, first of all, I don't think nobody's crazy enough to put that kind of pressure on a guy who can knock you out with a jab, basically. And so I don't think it's really something that he needs to worry about, man. Anybody get hit to the stomach by a guy like Sean Porter, it's going to hurt, and they're going to feel it. They're going to be affected, especially if you get hit multiple times. But like I said, man, that's really like trying to go inside of an alligator mouth and touch his tongue without getting bit, you know. And that's the kind of fighter that Thurman is. For you to try to come forward on him, man, that's like playing roulette with three bullets.
What did you think about the mental aspect? You know, as far as Scully was saying, you know, you got guys, you know, like a James Toney, you know, that are kind of, you know, soft around the middle, soft, yet still able, yeah, those get those vicious body attacks.
I'm trying to understand your question. I'm sorry. Can you rephrase it? I guess.
Scully mentioned James Toney and how Toney, even though, you know, he didn't have a six-pack and whatnot, you know, when guys attacked him with the body, it really didn't, you know, it didn't do anything to his game plan, and it didn't really faze James Toney because he was ready for that. So tell us about the mental preparation the fighters go through in order to get themselves into that next level.
Well, everybody's mental preparation is different, you know. Some people listen to music to get themselves in, you know, mentally, you know, certain lyrics or a certain melody of a song. You know, some people meditate, some people pray. Everybody's different, man. A guy like James Toney, the reason why he was able to be so effective, even though he got hit to the body, because he didn't do a lot of moving. In a case like a Sean Porter, Keith Thurman, because he moved so much, getting hit to the body is absolutely bad for him, because whenever you get hit to the body, it kind of starts to disconnect the upper body from the lower body, and it's harder on the hips. You know, it's harder for your brain to tell your feet to move. Versus like a James Toney, all he's doing is really staying in that pocket, rolling his shoulders, staying behind his shoulders and counterpunching and things like that. A guy like Thurman, man, to be able to endure the attack, the onslaught attack that Porter came with last night, man, it really said a lot about him. It says that he's a very mentally strong person, mentally strong, number one, to fight somebody that you're friends with, and to go out there and conduct yourself like a soldier, like a warrior, and then to be able to endure the punches and still not be shaken off of your foundation. It says a lot about him in terms of his mental strength. And you know, I'm definitely a fan of his. I can say today, versus I couldn't say that any time really before, but because I am a fan of Sean Porter's, but for him to fight Sean Porter And as you as we're talking, for him to keep that mental capacity and not fall apart with that kind of pressure, with some kind of punches, that says a lot about Keith Thurman, in my opinion. And I think after this fight, he's going to be a much better fighter, a much seasoned fighter. And I think that he found out a little bit about himself, too, because you never know how good you are until you got to be that good that night. You know, they say in the Bible, it says iron sharpens iron and man sharpens man. And I think that for the most part, Thurman came out shining.
I'm going to stick with you here, champ. We're talking about Thurman's next opponent. There's been, of course, you know, we have Kell Brookins. Possibly Timothy Bradley. Danny Garcia will be back. Somebody got beat July 30th. Damn, who would you like Keith Thurman take on?
You know, man, this is just me talking. I honestly, after this win last night, I don't really see anybody giving him no trouble, to be honest with you. I think that beating Porter, he beat the absolute top. I think everybody else is just like a dessert. I don't think Jacobs got it. I don't think Bradley got it. I don't think any of them. I think if he hit those guys, they're going to be asleep. That's just my opinion, man. I mean, to me, he beat the best fighter that he could have fought pretty much in that division, minus Pacquiao or somebody like that, man. But I don't see too many people giving him any trouble, any other fighters in his weight.
Now, Scully, I'm going to kind of disagree with that, because I think that if there's anybody that could possibly handle Keith Thurman, especially in that weight class, Kell Brook. Jabron, I'll ask you the question then. How do you think that Thurman would fare against Kell Brook? And would you like to see that be his next opponent?
I would like that fight. I think that it wouldn't be an easy fight for Thurman. And we cannot forget Errol Spence Jr., who's that hungry up and coming lion with speed and power.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I definitely think I like Errol Spence, but I'm not sure if Errol Spence right now has enough skills to deal with a Thurman. I think maybe another year and a little bit more opposition. I just think right now that Keith Thurman is just a little too much for him. I'm trying to see if I can get Scully back there.
But definitely Kell Brook would be a good fight for him. And can't forget about Danny Garcia. You know, I've questioned Danny Garcia, and every time, somehow, some way, he finds a way to come out with a W. So, you know, it wouldn't be a bad fight. It'd actually be a good fight as far as promotion, too, because, you know, Thurman, he don't go out his way to trash talk, but with Danny Garcia father over there, I think the hype for the fight would be just right.
Yeah, I think the Danny Garcia fight would be a very action filled fight. That's another fight that would have to be made in 2017, just like the Gennady the Triple G and Canelo fight. That's a fight that we got to look forward to 2017.
JK, I don't know about this heavyweight division, man. That boy Joshua, man. I don't know. I'd like to see him and Wilder in the ring.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that, of course. I mean, you know, we got the heavyweight champ here. We have to talk about that. So I think we lost Mr. Scully. But anyway, Layman, how impressed were you with the performance by Mr. Anthony Joshua?
I'm sorry, say that again. You said how was what?
How impressed with you with the performance of Anthony Joshua?
Well, I've been impressed with him since he beat this last opponent. Gosh, what the heck is his
Charles
name?
Martin.
Yeah, since he beat Charles Martin, he did something that you don't see in the heavyweight division, even with guys that are around 220. A southpaw like Martin stepped in with his jab. He stepped back on his back foot and stepped right in with a straight right hand. Like, that's just overly impressive for a dude to be that tall and that big to be that accurate. But then for him to go in there against a Dominique Brazil, not to say Dominique Brazil is some great fighter. I wouldn't even call him a top 10 fighter. Maybe we can call him a top 10 fighter in this millennium. But in my era, he definitely wouldn't be in the top 10 fighter. No disrespect, but I just call it like it is. He's not a natural heavyweight. And what I mean by that, he's a good athlete, and any good athlete can become a decent boxer. But to become a champion, a great challenger, you gotta. I guess it has to be your calling, and it's not his calling, because I believe he came from either basketball or football, and you can just, it just shows by his coordination. I think a guy like Anthony Joshua is very, very, very dangerous, because not only is he big, not only is he strong, not only can he punch, but he actually has skills. He has the skills of a little man. Like when I was fighting, outside of a few people like Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson, you know, just a few people like that, Michael Moore. I didn't really watch heavyweights. I watched the smaller fighters, because that's where you learn skills, you learn pivots, you learn counterpunching, things like that. And this guy, Joshua, man, he just really seems very sound. Now, how would he do against a guy like, you know, a Deontay Wilder, who is going to go out there? Now he's more seasoned. He's not the kid that he was when he came in, and he's going to use his range. He's going to use his agility. Now, that would be a great fight, because you got two dynamite fighters that could knock each other out with one punch. And so it's going to be like a chess match. You know, you can't just go out there with your queen as soon as you move your pawn, because normally the man who puts his queen on the board first normally loses, if you know anything about chess. But the thing that I'm saying, Anthony Joshua, he just looks very sound. He looks very trained. He looks very disciplined. He looks very hungry. You can tell that he's a natural fighter. He's not in this just for the money. He's not in this just for the fame. He's in it because he loves it. You can see it when he fights. And I think the only person out there in my mind that can give him a true test would be Deontay Wilder, which is a fight that I hope that neither one of them even think about having remotely in the next few years, two, maybe 3 years. Why? Because there's so many other fighters that they can go out there and clean up, go after whoever wins, Tyson Fury, Klitschko. I mean, I just think that they're – well, other fighters, you know, all money leads to big money eventually. You know, make that little easier money, which accumulate to big money, versus come up and let's fight the best, the baddest dude in the division. The reason why, just getting back to what I said about Sean Porter and Thurman, when you fight that hard against somebody who is just as good as you, it takes a little out of you. And, you know, they're both young. They got their whole careers ahead of them. So, you know, I would say be a businessman, not them be a businessman. Let their managers, let their team be the businessman to say, listen, yes, this is a fight that we want. We even know that we can win. Whoever believes that. But right now, just from a financial standpoint, it don't make sense. I mean, I can make $5 million here, $5 million there, $5 million here, $5 million there, and I can do that for the next maybe 2-3 years. And my fighter be so seasoned, his value, his stocks will be up so high that when they do fight, then they could just both retire if that's what they really want to do, because I can assure you that that is going to be just like the Poirier and Thurman fight. It's going to take a little out of it. I assure you that, man. And I say that because I've been there, man. You know, it's like once you give your all, it's like how many times can you go to that well before that water's dried up? So that's all I'm pointing at, man.
Now, since you're an advisor somewhat, and we know that you kind of, watch Mr. Wilder, when you speak of athleticism and guys coming over, you know, making that change over from one sport to another. Now, you know, we all know that Deontay became a fighter to feed his family. He was originally, you know, an athlete. Layman, can you kind of tell us, you know, what you guys have worked on in the last couple of years to bring Deontay up to where he's at and to get him not to rely so much on his athletic ability, but on the things that he has been taught?
Well, you know, man, I have to be honest with you. I am not a part of his management team. I'm not. I don't speak to his trainers. I don't speak to Al about him. What I do on my own is what I've always done. Was I send him things, send him letters, texts, emails, or I'll speak to him, and I send him things that I used in my career to help me mentally strong, whether it's a song, a Bible verse, or whatnot, you know, or a prayer. So that's the relationship I have with him. I cannot say that I am the one that helps with his career. From my standpoint, I just try to say things to him like, hey man, you know, you got your career ahead of you, and these guys out here hungry and they're desperate. So you can't, don't be out here being desperate in terms of just throwing shots. Don't play around, stick your tongue out, you know, those type of things. You know, my thought is try to get him in a frame of mind of how important this really is, because when you got that title, you're at the top, and everybody's going to try to come for you in one regard or another, even your friends. So I try to speak to him as a big brother would, so to speak, somebody who's walked that walk before. So that's the stand I have with Deontay Wilder.
Very interesting, you know, because we know, you know, how cerebral you are. And, you know, I mean, it would be very interesting, you know, to know that you actually are more of a mentor in the mental side, rather than the physical side. But, Jabron, what did you think, first of all, about Joshua's performance? And number two, you know, I kind of talked – I have to kind of, you know, once I criticize somebody when they, you know, do better, I also have to recognize that. And I will say – that compared to the way I saw Mr. Dominic Brazil come in against Mansoor up here in L.A., as compared to the same gentleman that I saw fight at Anthony Joshua, it seems to me he did get physically prepared for the fight and as mentally as best he could. But I think he just got thrown into the deep water a little too soon. but I will give his trainer and his team credit for getting him in what I consider the best shape of his life. And you know, I mean, he you know, hey, you can't buy skills. So I think he brought the best that he had to offer. But Jabron, your thoughts on that fight from both sides, if you don't mind.
Well, from Dominique's side, he has a hell of a chin. He has a big heart, and I like that he was very professional after the fight. He didn't make any excuses. He took ownership of just being beaten by the better man. He represent himself real well. I wish him best going forward. I just think, like you said, that was a little bit out of his league for right now. But if he goes back and train and get focused, I think he could still, you know, make a little noise in the heavyweight division, far as being pretty much maybe like a gatekeeper, or maybe he could capture one of those smaller belts. But on Joshua's side, I love, of course, he's conditioned. He's focused. I love his footwork. His footwork was very phenomenal. I love this footwork. He was pivoting, and he was setting up shots, and he wasn't calculated, like predictable. He was changing things up, and I like the dog in him. Once Dominique bloodied his nose in the sixth round, you seen when he went to the corner, they was trying to wipe his nose and give him instructions. He didn't want to hear nothing. He know he wanted to get back in there and destroy that guy. You just seen his demeanor coming out in the seventh round, and he executed. Even though he wanted to kill Dominique, he still was poised and put his punches together.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with you on that. Layman, you're used to fighting over across the pond and whatnot. We talk a lot about Al Haymon, but Layman, what about Mr. Eddie Hearns? Is he one of the best international promoters?
You say, is Eddie Hearns one of the best international promoters?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, man, I really can't say that I know that, man, because I've never dealt with him in my career, and outside of his name, I just don't know much about him.
Yeah, well, in some ways, he's kind of like the Al Haymon of the English boxing scene, but he's a little bit more volatile, a little bit more vocal, a little bit more vocal. What do you think about Eddie Hearns, especially because it seems to me that it would be on him to try to make that Kell Brook, Amir Khan, or even a Kell Brook Keith Thurman fight. What do you think about the British boxing promoter, Mr. Eddie Hearns? Or are you familiar with his work?
I'm familiar with him. From what I've seen in the last couple of years, he's always trying to cook up something. He's always coming up with, like, a fresh idea, like, hey, we should match these guys up. You know, he's always with the idea of putting fighters in the ring. That's what I know of him. You know, a lot of the articles that I read on the over the pond fighters, his name is always pretty much involved and matches being made. So, I mean, I don't know the in-depth detail of how he conduct business, but I just know that, like you said, he's very vocal about getting certain fights done.
Yeah, he's the mover and shaker as far as the British boxing scene is concerned, And I'm very interested in seeing where he decides to go with, like I said, Joshua, Kell Brook, you know, one fight that's been brought up.
He brought up this morning, I read an article that he would might put him in there with Joseph Parker.
Yeah, and there's also talk of David Haye, but, you know, we're also talking about David Haye and my man, every time
Shannon Briggs?
Yeah, David Haye and Shannon Briggs. But I want to talk a little bit about Mikey Garcia. Mikey Garcia is coming back to he's making his return July 30th. He's going to be at the Barclays Center. Jabron, we'd like to see if we can get you into that fight. He's going to be fighting Ilio Rojas. It's going to be a Showtime co-feature with the Leo Santa Cruz Carl Frampton fight. Jabron, thoughts on the return of Mikey Garcia?
I'm just happy that his legal situation is behind him and we can move forward and see him in the ring. But I hope after the fight that he can line up another fight, that it don't turn into Andre Ward all over again.
Well, my, you know, Mikey's got a lot of you know, fights that could be made. And, you know, Layman, what did you think about the return of Mikey Garcia July 30th at the Barclays Center? And will you be at the Barclays Center for this fight?
I hope so, man. I like Mikey Garcia. He's a tremendous fighter. He comes from a whole line of fighters. His brother was a fighter. Now he's his trainer, and his dad was a trainer for Fernando Vargas. And I actually traveled the world as a young man with his dad. And you know, I just think that Mikey Garcia, he got the right attitude. The thing that I hope is that they don't. I mean, I don't know this guy he's fighting. I hope it's not a hard fight because, you know, just being off for 2 years, man, that can make you a little gun-shy. It could put more pressure on you because you're going to have so many fans out there versus going out taking a small fight that, you know, just a fight to get the rust off. Maybe you fight a guy that can give you 3 or 4 rounds, you know, just to break the egg, so to speak. I just hope that whatever he do, I hope he's smart about it and come on back and get back in contention. And I think by now he definitely would, you know, he'd beat and made his mark in boxing as I think he will.
Yeah, he's fighting a former title holder, you know, but the guy, he's been kind of inactive for a little while, so he could be very
good.
Killer for Mikey. But Layman stand on that same card, Leo Santa Cruz. Hey. We all know Leo, man. I mean, you know, if you've been around, if you have on half the site, how Leo, he looks upon Al as a father figure, and he holds Al in great esteem. So, Layman, can you kind of tell us what are you expecting out of Leo Santa Cruz and Peter Frampton? And, you know, just Leo has been in a couple hard fights lately. What are you expecting from him in this fight against Mr. Frampton?
Well, I'm just going to put it real simple, man. I usually go into these deep breakdowns, but I'm just going to put it like this. He going to show up and show out, man. I don't think Frampton got anything coming for him. That's just my opinion. I think he's going to be tough. But, you know, all fighters that come into boxing that train halfway and even want to win a little bit, this is going to give you a tough fight. But I don't think this is really going to be – I think this is the perfect fight for him.
Jabron, do you agree?
To a certain degree. I think Santa Cruz is going to win, but I think Frampton is going to come out aggressive, you know, the first couple rounds and try to shake things up. But after, I think, 3-4 rounds, I think Santa Cruz is really going to start sitting down on his punches and really try to get that guy out of there and smother him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to big things from Leo. I mean, you know, Leo usually comes, whenever he comes to bring his best out, and I'm sure we won't be disappointed this time either. We don't have any real big fights coming up here anytime soon. We have a lot of young guys coming on that'll be showcasing their talents. But Lamadog, I want to kind of come to you because we saw something last night. We saw now where, you know, we're getting these PBC cards, and what they're showing a lot of young fighters. Last night they had Mr. Darwin Price. They had Ryan Carl. The fight card in San Antonio featured a lot of 8-round fights. Layman, with the advent of PBC and Mr. Al Haymon, we always talk about the future of boxing. But Layman, how much of a chance is Mr. Haymon taking when he's showing these young fighters in these mostly 8-round fights and, you know, getting them exposed to TV? Can you kind of tell us what's his plan there? And, hey, I mean, as far as the fans are concerned, I'm sure we all enjoy watching these up-and-coming fighters and not having to wait until, you know, they get in the ring. Like last night, the Herd gentleman that Scully had said he never heard of, how important is it not only for these young fighters but for Mr. Haymon to make sure that these young fighters get the proper exposure?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question, man. I just want to say, you know, I've known Al because I was introduced him through my brother, who's no longer with us, Vernon Force. And from day one, man, Al's quick to let you know, I'm not in this for the money. I don't need your money. I'm in here because I love the sport. Al is the reason why he's going to win. And everything he does is because he does it from the heart. And a fighter that always fights from the heart will always be the man who fights for the money. Al does not take advantage of people. He does not cheat people. He believes in giving the fighter everything he deserves and even beyond that. And he's done it so many times, so many stories that people will probably tell you. I just believe, and I can't speak for Al, but I just believe what Al wants to do is, from the things he's personally told me, is he wants to make boxing fair. You know, he's sick of these managers taking 33 1/3 for their fighters, and then they're so quick to build up their record, pad them, their record, and then throw them in there with somebody they shouldn't be in there with. Or they're so quick to take money from every single chance that they get. They're so quick to try to control their fighters' lives, man. Al doesn't do any of that. All he wants is what's best for you. He'll never tell you what you have to do. He'll make that suggestion, and then it's up to you, because that's what advisors do. It's just my opinion, man. Al is a fresh breath of air to the sport of boxing, because he's a man who's in it. At the end of the day, he has millions of dollars. He never, ever has to worry about eating or taking care of his family. He did all that before he even got into the sport. All he's doing is trying to be a life raft, if you will, because us fighters are out here. We're trying to keep our head above water. He's a life raft, man, and he's throwing us a raft, you know, a preserve, a life jacket, and he's saying, look, I can help you. All you got to do is trust me, and I'm gonna try to advise you to the best of my ability. And that's all I've ever seen him do. And, you know, like I said to you a couple of shows back, if you hear somebody say something bad about Al, it's because they don't know him, you know, because I know this man on a personal level, and I can definitely account for the things he's even done for me that he didn't even have to do. You know, even now he's helping me, you know, a retired fighter and life after boxing. I still have to keep myself relevant, you know what I mean? I still have to take care of my family, you know. So what he's doing, man, is he's going beyond what his role calls for as a fan of boxing, as a businessman in boxing, as a friend in boxing. And you know, me personally speaking, I'm honored to know him, and anybody to get a chance to be in his circle will also tell you the same thing if you get to speak to anybody that knows Al.
Nothing like I said. I've never talked to a fighter that's associated with Al that didn't have good things to say.
Laban, as always, great having you on the show.
Give us your final thoughts for this evening, and tell everybody where they can find you on social.
Well, final thoughts of the evening, man, is, you know, you guys got to see probably the best fighter of the year, Keith Thurman and Sean Porter. And, you know, I'm just so happy, again, for a guy like Al Haymon to be able to give these young up-and-coming fighters a chance at fame, at stardom, and to be able to make money, to be able to go in there and fight your heart out, and then at the end of the night to be able to receive the money that you know that you deserve versus some promoter some manager saying, oh, well, you know what I mean? Like, I love the fact that these guys know every dime they're going to get, and ain't no, well, I'm going to give you your check down the road. You know, you know what you're getting, man, and that's the beautiful thing about a guy like Al Haymon. He's great for the sport. I ask that people will continue to support him because he's one of the good guys in boxing. I thank everybody who supports me, supports you, JK, John Skelly, you know, Jabron, and all the things that we're doing in life, man. And, you know, I just want to say it really means a lot to be able to come on this show and to be heard, man, with all the experience and knowledge that I have. And I can't thank you enough, JK. People can follow me, Laman Brewster, LamonBrewster. That's at Facebook. That's at Instagram. That's at Twitter. Holler at your boy, you know, good, bad, or whatever, man. The key to all success is just communication. What communication brings understanding. What understanding brings respect, and it brings love.
Hey, great words from the champ. So thank you so much, Laban, and look forward to talking to you next week, man.
Thank you, brother.
Well, that was chilling with the champ. We also had Iceman John Scully on tonight, talking with us a little bit. So, Jabron, while we close out the show, you tell everybody where they can find you on social media and give us your final thoughts for the evening.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook, Jabron Clemens. To keep your juices flowing from the weekend, we have a PBC card on Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, Fox Sports 1. So support. Edna Cherry, the veteran, will be the headline on that card, fighting Liddell Rose. So I just tell the fans to keep supporting. And, JK, you can let the fans know where they can reach you.
Yes, sir. I can be found West Coast Steeler fan, all things boxing. I can also be found on the Sports Crib. And don't forget our Facebook pages, the Pugilist Corner and the Sports Crib. So have a great night, everyone. We're looking forward to having a great show Tuesday. Going to get some of the young winners off. I've already booked Cowboy Carl. We're going to see if we can get Mr. Jesse DeLoach. We're also going to talk to Mr. Lee Baxter from Canada. We kind of missed most of his interview Tuesday, so we're going to bring him back. And, of course, the dreaded to be announced. But don't forget to catch us Tuesday on the Creatureless Corner and next Sunday on the Weekend Wrap. So have a great night, everyone. See you next week.